And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio the city manager of the city of Palmer, Nate Wallace. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here today.
We're talking after possibly, in my experience, and probably yours.
Definitely mine.
The meeting which has had more people attend than any other. The counting I got was 110 people.
That was our fire chief was taking a head count to make sure we didn't exceed the building capacity, and his count was 110 at the highest point last night.
Okay.
Or the night of the meeting.
Okay. So now that we have that number down, it seemed to me because once the focus of attention came off of the discussion around an item related to Fred Meyer, a lot of people left.
Yes.
So I
went from about 110 to 5 again.
Yeah, I'm going to guess that, yes, that's why people were there and a lot of people spoke to it. We recorded it, we streamed it, we took video and all the rest of it. What I want to do, though, now is, since we've had a time to sleep on this topic, is to reflect upon what happened, because this was a two-session discussion started 2 weeks ago at a previous meeting. And was continued at the request of a majority of the members of the council.
Yes.
And I think it's safe to say that the process was a wee bit different than usual in that it appeared there without a specific public hearing. Discussion went on, and now at this most recent meeting, there was a public hearing, and people were able to focus their attention. Any comment about that part of the process?
Well, the council can have a public hearing on anything they desire. There are certain things that are required to have a public hearing within the city, and primarily that's the budget issues. Anything with a budget has to have a public hearing. We do public hearings for liquor licenses, but that's because the council requested it.
Okay.
Public hearings for zoning issues, any ordinance changes require public hearing. So this particular item didn't fit in that category, other than in the end that the council requested a public hearing.
Okay.
After for the second session, so that's how it came to that point. So the council has that discretion to request any item be held as a public hearing, as opposed to new business or old business.
So one of the questions I had looking at this now retrospectively is to say, was there anticipation of the strong outpouring of discussion, pro, con, whatever, when this was originally put together as an agenda for the meeting previous?
No, because, again, it wasn't a land use issue. It was a permit issue that required the favorable, again, back to what our code says, a favorable opinion of the council that something would not disturb the peace and would be conducted in a manner of safety with National Rifle Association guidelines. So with that in mind, it wasn't identified as being a hot button issue for that particular spot in the ground, because it didn't, and it still doesn't, even after the decision was made, actually affect the business dealings of the private property owner. It was a person that has an interest in pursuing a business opportunity there. When reviewing the code to discharge firearms in the city, nobody can shoot anything in the city without an exception from the council.
Okay. So I know that as the discussion went on, and of course, there was a lot of discussion before you gave a staff report, which I thought clarified nicely the process that you had been involved in to say the proposal for this particular business met the criteria under which you review and see this is a zoned area. And because there is for any business that's coming in, and I just want to make sure I understand this correctly, for any business that's going to start up in the city of Palmer, is there going to be a review before that business can operate?
Typically, no. Those businesses that come in, they may or may not come into community development and ask to see the code. It's available online,
right,
to see where their businesses can operate. I think the exception with this property is because it's a multi-million dollar real estate deal that both sides, the seller and the buyer, have to do some due diligence to make sure that their investment won't fall through because of, in this case, I don't want to call it minor, but a permit for discharge is something irregular.
Okay.
So that wouldn't have come up in a normal review. If somebody were to come in and review code for the city of Palmer Municipal Code, and they were to look at zoning, the firearms discharge would not come up. So you know, the assessment is my business fits in this model, and I will proceed with my deal. In this case, this particular item was not in our zoning ordinance. It was in our peace, public morals, and welfare chapter, which is Chapter 9 or Title 9, along with a lot of other different items. So discharge of firearms isn't addressed in zoning.
Okay.
But because of the accessory use that requires a shooting range to be able to shoot on, it was identified that, you know, this one strange piece that's not zoning came up that they would require this permit. So again, normal course of business, if somebody wants to move into a building in Palmer, they generally do their own research and they can determine if they do or don't fit in zoning.
Okay.
But they may not look elsewhere for other exceptions like this.
So size matters, obviously. Okay, got it. A couple of things spun out here, and as they pop up, I'll try to bring them up and understand what's going possibly to happen. I know that the council decided to retain the site-specific aspect of this permit, so that if the proposer wanted to put this somewhere else, they would have to come back to the council.
That's correct.
Okay. Now, interestingly enough, since this Title IX is outside of the zoning, is this some form of trump card that a person can play? So, for example, if someone wanted to put this same business over in an area that wasn't commercial necessarily, could that be done by saying, I get approval and I can do this?
It doesn't even have to be a business. I mean, if somebody has a piece of property that's large enough in a residential area and they want to discharge a firearm in the city limits, whether it's commercial or not, this would be the process they would go to get permission to discharge a firearm in the city limits.
But could they put a shooting range in that place that is residential?
I'd have to go look. You have to look at residential, and I don't think that we allow. I think it does say we don't have accessory use in our residential.
Okay. So, and that was the fascinating thing as well. I looked at the site map, and mm-hmm. I've had previous discussions about, okay, that's a big building. It's got tens of thousands of square footage. And the shooting range, in some people's minds, I think that's what people came through, where they're thinking shooting range.
That's all it's going to be.
And then there's this other accessory stuff.
Yeah.
But I think, am I correct in understanding that the city's position is it's a retail establishment and the accessory use is the shooting range?
The business proposal is that it's a gun store,
okay,
a sporting goods firearm store, and this supports their business. And so the city's position is we don't determine what the business plan is. They've come forward, this is our business plan. We want to have a retail gun store with all the accessories to include apparel and everything else that goes with it. Also, our business is training, classroom training, and
sure,
security training.
Right.
In order to support that, we also want to have a gun range.
So
again, it goes back to what the business model is, not the city's looking at a site plan and determining on its own what the use is. So again, it's the business has to come forward and tell us what they're doing so that we can make an assessment.
So how is it determined? I mean, I understand it, and that's important clarification. So if someone comes and says, I've got a retail business I want to do, but they're really carrying a much larger operation. And even if they say it's a retail establishment with this other, that other might be so huge, not possibly because of its size or for that matter, because of the usage, that it really is not accessory so much. It's a front of a retail with this big back end. How do you deal with that kind of thing?
Again, our code is what we rely on, and if unless there's some specific formula, which we don't have, it's an assessment by the zoning administrator and myself on is this appropriate for that zone? So again, the question about space, I mean, some things take up a lot of air that aren't used very much. So we have to rely on the business proposal and how it's presented. What is your business? Is your business a range? Is your business selling things, or is your business manufacturing things? So those all get rolled up into the overall assessment. In this case, it's a large building. And in the site plan, it also shows a third of it as being future tenant space.
Right. So we've used the term interpretation. It was used at the council meeting.
Yes.
It was used by a variety of people. It was including, I believe, the attorney. Mm-hmm. And so when we use that kind of term, I'm led to wonder whether there are essentially the city, you as an executive there, are charged with making an interpretation, buttressed by the attorney's interpretation. Sounded to me as if there were some people who were speaking that were saying, well, our interpretation of this is different.
Yes.
And so the council completed its work, the sense of, a determination has been made, the council has voted. A number of people wondered, is this the end of it or just the opening of it? What comes next?
Well, the next piece is between the property owners, the property owner and that's selling a piece of property and whoever buys that piece of property.
Okay.
And we're not involved in that process. If the petitioner goes in and makes a deal that goes through and is not in accordance with zoning. So if using the petitioners last night, if they go in and their business plan that they actually execute is not in line with the site plan that was provided, the interpretation, then there's a procedure for dealing with that. So again, is it a done deal? That's a tough question. I would say the larger question is, if folks aren't satisfied with our Palmer Municipal Code, then there's a process to change that. And there may be movement to do that based on a couple of council member comments.
Okay. And
the other piece is, it's the interpretation was mine. That's my responsibility as outlined in code. The council hires me and gives me that big, thick book and says, here's your instructions to execute business within the city. And we've had a history in the city of, when city managers go off and don't please the council, then they're asked to move on. So that's the nature of the job. I'm hired to make those decisions. And if they're bad decisions, then I would hope the council would ask me to leave.
Okay. So,
and I don't think we're there based on those comments. There was some discussion, the administration, one council member made the comment that the administration was trying to, or it appeared that the administration was trying to go around the system. That's, again, an impression, a perception, and I would like to think that's not what we did as administration, but that statement was made, and again, that's my they hired me to make those decisions, and if they don't like my decisions, there's a process.
Sure.
And the same thing goes on my end if I'm not happy with the support I get, then I have the opportunity to leave as well. And again, we're nowhere near that, but that's how government works in a municipal organization like ours. It's a council manager form of government. So
one question that has come up is about the decision was made by the council to, and it was 5-2, to approve the exception.
The discharge of firearms in the city permit.
Right. Is there any appeal to that decision that's available to people if they didn't like it?
No, there really isn't. The ultimate appeal is to the Superior Court. So any decision the council makes, that's how that works. That's the next step above the council is court.
Okay, so there's not an ombudsman anything like that.
No.
Okay, so what we're saying is if people are really dissatisfied with it, then it would be a legal action involving Superior Court, da-da-da-da.
Yes.
Okay. But it may be that, as you pointed out, there's still some time here before it's a true done deal. There are at least, as I understand, three proposals that have been made to Fred Meyer, and those are in play with varying time frames and positions because I think for listeners, you may want to, if a listener has had an experience with selling their own personal house, you know, if they're so lucky as to have two or three people all at once say, we want to buy it, and they take positions.
Yes.
The first one signs off, and if that comes to completion, cool. If not, then there's a second position and so on. And I believe that holds as well with even more attention because there's usually far more money involved.
Yes.
In this process. So it may be that the proposal for the retail gun establishment and accompanying firing ranges will not make it and will not be there.
Yes. Again, this had I don't want to say it didn't have an impact on the real estate transaction, because had the council said no, then the proprietor still could have gone forward with a gun shop and manufacturing.
Sure.
That they proposed and all the other things. It's just the gun, and they could have built a gun range, but they wouldn't have been able to fire within a gun range. So
sound of silence.
Yes. So this had nothing to do with directly on the real estate transaction. That is still between the buyers and the sellers. So it's, yeah, because this was the permit to shoot a weapon within the firearm in the city or an archery. I mean, it's the same thing applies there. It's whether it's a gun or a bow.
Okay.
That has nothing to do with the contract that's being done. So,
well, let's switch the focus a little bit, because I had an opportunity to review the 2006 comprehensive plan. And we all know that it's 2018.
Yes.
So 12 years has passed, but there's still an existing comprehensive plan, which had some vision and various statements. And, of course, I think many people now know where the industrial park is located in Palmer. It is an area specifically.
Yeah. It's not an industrial park that you would think of in the 1890s.
Right.
But it's the area where Public Works is located, the Borough Public Works is located, the MTA, MEA, and then there's other businesses in that general area. So,
sure.
So if you know where MEA and MTA are, that's our industrial area.
Right. And then if you go a little bit beyond that, the Springer, and then off that, well, yeah.
So we also have a business park.
A business park, which is different.
Industrial type activities going on. There's a steel, JR Steel is out there, Triveris. There's things that are industrial in nature, but we also have a brewery out there. So
sure.
it's a kind of a mix of.
Yeah. And that kept coming up. And I refer to the kind of the comprehensive plan to say, if one were to be approached by people looking to put various businesses in different parts, presumably that would be a suggested area to be shown, say, hey, here we go, a shooting range, et cetera. Except from what I've heard today, and I'm reflecting upon this, we're talking retail.
Yes.
And I think maybe just those two things are the shooting range as a quite possible natural extension of a retail store. But the retail facility in downtown Palmer, because you've got a lot more people cycling around here, et cetera. And yet, when you add that...
Had it just been a range, which is similar to the one that's outside the city, mm-hmm. or the outdoor ranges that have been mentioned, then yes, somewhere like that, an industrial area or the business park, would be a logical place for just a place to go shoot. But again, when the business proposal was, we want to sell guns. We want to sell guns that we make eventually. We want to sell the accessories that go with it.
We want to have a place to...
We want to make money, and yeah. We're not going to make money on
unless we roll
range.
This all together.
Yeah. We want to be able to have people come in, and again, I'm not advocating for this business. It's like any other one. I think we need to keep our arms open to new business, whether it is guns, and that's a very sensitive... And it's a very sensitive subject, and I understand that. In the room last night, really the testimony of the room, I think, was more... against the action, but the testimony was almost even, well, amazingly. Yeah. But some folks just chose not to speak, whether they were for or against it. So I can't measure that. But my sense was there were more people in the room that were opposed to the action than spoke. But and that really has no bearing on the decision that was made.
It doesn't necessarily represent the population of people right. in the city. Yeah.
But again, there's a lot of folks that thought this was just a range, and that's all we were addressing that night because that was the only piece that really pertained to the discharge of firearms. So again, getting back to what is the nature of the business that is being proposed holistically, and how does that fit within the zoning? And had this been a range, and that's all this was, I agree that is not appropriate for that place. But again, the business... as proposed, this was, we want to sell guns and we want to do it right and we want to make sure people have the right guns. And in order to do that, we want to offer them a place to test.
Sure.
To try it out.
Yeah. So mentioning the process earlier about looking at the code, the Planning Commission, Planning and Zoning is
yes.
presently doing that, is it not?
They are. They were charged by the council last fall mm-hmm. to review Title 17 from page 1 to whatever, however many 400 pages there are in that, which includes all of our zoning from residential single family all the way up to industrial and large retail establishments. Okay. And the large retail establishment piece is really about the building and the parking. It's not about the use. But we do talk about setbacks and things like that throughout the code. So they've gone through a couple of sections already. They've done single family R1. They've done R2. They're working on R3 right now. And at some point, as they get through that, they'll get to
commercial
limited, commercial general, industrial. It's a work in progress, and we had a joint session last week,
right?
And the comment was made that thank you for doing this work. It's hard work because as a P&Z, you're going to get public testimony,
right?
And then it's going to come to the council, and we're going to have our shot at it with public testimony, and it can get messy, but that's what we're here for, is to refine this document. So. That is a process that's ongoing. We haven't done it in a while, which when we look at how do we get to where we were last night with land use, which wasn't the topic, but it was in the background.
Sure.
We haven't revised commercial general since 2009, and I haven't gone back to see what we changed in 2009, but it was changed in 2009, 2006, 2005. 1992 is when it was established, which probably superseded something prior to that. So
for
much like the comprehensive plan, 2006, here's 2018. That's I haven't been charged to do that, but it was a discussion point during the budget session. We need to think about reviewing and updating the comprehensive plan. Typically, those are expensive to do.
But just a cursory review, as I did prior to your coming in, I said, "Oh yeah, this has a bit of age about it because things have changed."
Yep. But it's also when I reviewed it before I even took the position. It is not so restrictive. I tell folks, I could paint a Wasilla red stripe down the middle of Main Street. I could probably find something in our comprehensive plan that supports that, through either economic development or infrastructure support. If I painted a red stripe down the middle of the street, folks would probably come to see that, and we would be generating interest in the city. Is that the way to do it? No, but our comprehensive plan is pretty loose.
Right.
Now, whether that's good or bad, it needs to be reviewed. It needs to have public comment. I mean, the nature of the city has changed since 2006. The population turnover, I think someone said, is close to 25 to 30% annually.
Sure.
So the nature of Palmer has changed, and it's time, and I would say the council also has that same sense. And the comprehensive plan then drives our zoning to make sure that the zoning matches our comprehensive plan.
So that leads, of course, to the question, since the PNC is doing its work now,
yep.
Presumably they're dealing with an old comprehensive plan.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's so when they go through the Title 17, it still has to refer back and mesh with the comprehensive plan.
Okay. Well, for listeners, this is an opportunity to take the thinking about what is happening at the present time and making contact with the PNZ to throw in so that they'll have some public input.
Yep.
Maybe prior even to the time when a finished product or a draft finished product is presented.
I've asked the planning and zoning not to, they could take it in chunks. Okay, we reviewed R1, let's do a resolution and take the council and let the council approve it. My guidance to them was, let's review it because we may see, and not finalize it because we may see something in R4, we have the discussion, what can go in R4, and there may be something we didn't think about. We can put this in R4, but this might work with some special conditions in R1, but since we've already approved it and council approved it, now we got to go through that whole process. So they're working through it with a mind to go back and make sure that, if we do something
later on
3 months from now, that we look back also to make sure it does or doesn't apply to what we've done. So it's a work in progress. The other piece is we're going to have an opening on planning and zoning. So if somebody wants to get involved in city government and have a direct impact on Title 17 zoning, now's your opportunity. It'll be announced, or it'll be open for applications, I believe, the May 8th, somewhere in that time frame.
Okay. Good point to make. Well, in the minute or so we have left, having covered this ground, what would you like to leave with listeners?
Public participation, citizen engagement is huge. And if you don't get involved, things may pass you by. It was crowded. It was uncomfortable. But it was fantastic to see folks come out. Especially in that number. Now, would I like to see 100 people in that room every day? Yes, but we can't accommodate that many. So if we do get that kind of crowds, we're going to have to look at expanding the room. But it's live streamed audio and live streamed video. So I put a plug in for
the ability to listen, not
necessarily participate, but at least listen so that you know what's going on and you can come after the fact and make a comment.
Sure. Okay. Mike Malevsky, I've been here with Nate Wallace, who's city manager for the city of Palmer, and we've been talking about all things related to a one building,
yes,
pretty much, but with implications that reach far beyond that building.
Yes.
All right. Thank you for coming in today.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.